And next up on Morning Edition, we're going to take a journey to the land of the troubadours in southern France. We're going to see it through the eyes of the poet W.S. Merwin. His memoir is part of a National Geographic series of literary travel books. It's a chance for you to travel without leaving your favorite reading chair. In the first of our talks with a few of these authors, NPR's Renee Montaigne spoke with Merwin.
As a young poet, W.S. Merwin became enthralled with the language of the 12th century troubadours, those poet-musicians who perfected the idea of chivalry and courtly love in verse forms poets still use today. That is how Merwin ended up living in a stone house covered in brambles near the ruins of the French castle once occupied by a legendary troubadour, Bernard de Vantadorn. In Merwin's memoir, The Maze of Vantadorn, he writes of the countryside he encountered in the 1950s.
Local details of unknown origin were taken for granted as part of the fabric of the world. Recipes for green walnut leaf liqueurs and for ratafia, for instance. Draperies of carefully made string mesh arranged across the faces of yoked cows as they worked to keep the flies from their eyes. Even bits of lore that sounded like little more than superstition were surviving shards of a more vigorous and imposing order. Georges Gras telling me to tie a string around a tree before transplanting it with the knot on the north side, so that I would have it facing the right way when I planted it in the new place, and the sun would pass over it the way the tree was used to.
Early in the book, when you're writing about you as a young man with your wife at the time moving to the southwestern part of France where these troubadours sprang from, you write these words, "I knew that I had strayed into an unguarded part of the past."
Yes, you had the feeling that things had gone on unbroken. It's not everything, but many things had gone on unbroken in that part of the world, from the High Middle Ages right down till then, and there were continuities that had not been lost. And the language, the Patois is the late and kind of limited descendant of the great Occitan language of the troubadours, which was an older language than French. When I lived there, I heard it around me all the time, and I got so, by listening carefully and by reading the troubadours, I got so that I could follow a conversation.
Right now, could you give us the tiniest of samples?
What it sounds like, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's the first line of a poem of Pere Vidal's that goes, "Abla lentirmi vaslaire qu'il sen venir de Provenza," which says, "With every breath I feel come to me the air that comes from Provence." It's much closer to Spanish and Catalan than it is to French. And, you know, the age of the troubadours, one of the reasons the troubadours happened was because they were not interested in the French. I mean, they thought of the French as, you know, relatively clever barbarians up in the north, I mean, who were learned in the universities and all of that, but they didn't know how to live, they didn't know about music, and they didn't know about love, and they didn't know about clothes and about manners and or about any of those things. And they were extremely pious, which was boring, and people from around Toulouse in Aquitaine, the southwest of France, the knights and the lords from down there were far more interested in Spain and in the Arab courts, where they realized that the manners and the poetry and the singing and the food and the everything that they were interested in was far superior. They had a much better time in Spain than they did. Certainly, they really weren't interested in the north.
Choose for us, if you would, at least a part of one of these poems to give us a feel for what sort of language they were using.
I think if I had to choose one, it would be one of Guillaume d'Aquitaine's poems. He's a very great man and a great poet. 11 poems only remain. So a couple of them are really sort of, they're really dirty poems. I mean, they're all about the bedroom. But there's a poem here that one of his poems that really could be thought of as the origin of romanticism. The way this love of ours goes on is like the branch of the hawthorn that keeps trembling upon the tree in the night, in the rain and ice, until the sun comes and the day spreads through the green leaves and branches. I can still recall one morning when we put an end to warring, and how great was the gift she then gave me, her love and her ring. God just let me live to getting my hand under her cloak again. That's pretty specific. I mean, he's certainly not talking about something that's so exalted and idealized that there's no contact.
There's a line. He mentions the branch of the hawthorn.
Yes.
Did his choice of imagery, it must have come from then that land.
Yes, it did. And in fact, the marvelous thing is that there's still hawthorns growing on the slope below the ruins of Entadon. I mean, all these years later, the same hawthorns are still growing there. What I love about that is that, you know, we think of the flower that above all exemplifies love as the rose. But both in the season, in time, and in the poetry, there was the flower that came before the rose, and that's the hawthorn, which is the Mayflower, which is a much simpler flower, a white flower with a strange scent, which is not altogether sweet. There's a sort of very musky thing to it, and it's simpler than the rose.
Shall we end then where we began and where this book begins, and that's with Bernard de Ventadorn? There's just a fragment of a poem.
You're talking about the...
No use singing, it seems to me.
This is, and it's typical of Bernard, what he would think of as the central principle of all of his songs. No use singing, it seems to me, unless the song comes from the heart. And song cannot come from the heart unless true love is there already.
W.S. Merwin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Rennie. It's been a pleasure.
Poet W.S. Merwin's memoir is called The Maze of Ventadorn. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News.
Some of W.S. Merwin's poems can be found at npr.org. Next week, we'll take you to Susanna Moore's Hawaii. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.